Hello world, it's Siraj, and today I want to talk about a platform called Trust Token. We're going to go over some code, we're going to go over some theory, we're going to go over how it works, what it does, what's the point of it, and in the end I'm going to build a Solidity demo just to get you used to the idea of Ethereum smart contracts, which is what this is built on. So I want to start off by saying I was paid to make this video, but I only said yes for two reasons. Number one, I personally know the founders and I know they have good intentions. And number two, I actually believe in the product. So the last paid video I made was for Intel because, again, I believed in the product, the Movidius neural compute stick. Okay, so I just want to make that very clear before we get started with this. Okay, so this is a cool product, especially as somebody who has become a bit disillusioned with the space because of the amount of scams, because of the scalability issues with some platforms, because of the lack of regulations, which are leading to a lot of people losing a lot of money. So that's kind of, you know, a few of the reasons I become kind of disillusioned with the space. But I like the idea of Trust Token. I like where they're going with this. And so that's why I wanted to talk about it today. Okay, so what is the whole point behind this? Well, okay, so what it is it's a platform to create asset-backed tokens that you can easily buy and sell around the world. Okay, so basically the idea is that you can tokenize everything. Okay, so real estate, oil, currencies, your dog, your, you know, any kind of physical object in the real world, you know, your house, etc. There's so many things that you could do, you know, your art pieces, your music, etc. And so you might be thinking, well, why would I want to do that? I could just put it on some marketplace and sell it there. Well, it turns out that not everybody has access to investment opportunities, and not everybody has access to the ability to raise capital for this project. And so what the idea of tokenizing everything does is it democratizes access to capital. So anybody can raise capital for their project, right? By issuing these tokens, right? So if I have some, you know, house or something, I could then tokenize that house and allow anybody to then share in ownership of that house by issuing tokens, right? And so that's one. So the ability to raise capital for, you know, whatever it is. The second great thing about this is the ability to then invest in anything, right? So think about Tesla stock, right? So Tesla stock, only certain people can invest in Tesla, right? First of all, you're an American because it's an American company listed on the American Stock Exchange, right? So a lot of people are not included, right? They're not included in the ability to purchase Tesla stock simply because they weren't born in the United States, right? So democratizing access to investment opportunities to everybody and the ability to raise capital for everybody is something that blockchain technology and an implementation of it, Trust Token, are aiming to do. Okay, so another thing is the idea of an ICO, right? So ICOs have kind of done that. They've democratized the ability for anybody to raise capital anywhere in the world. But the problem is that there's no, you know, regulatory legal framework around all of this. And this has resulted in a lot of scams, right? A lot of people losing a lot of money. You don't necessarily have to be an accredited investor to invest in any of these ICOs, but you do in the case of Trust Token, right? So not necessarily an accredited investor, meaning you have like $1 million in capital, but they've definitely dotted their I's and T's when it comes to the legal documents, right? So they've listed this coin on CoinList, right? So if we go to CoinList.com, we can see a listing of, so there's Trust Token right there. There it is, right on the front page of CoinList, right? So the only other coin that I think is really, really cool is Filecoin, of course, because again, I know Juan, he was my roommate. IPFS is an incredible, incredible protocol, and Filecoin is kind of the glue that makes IPFS work, right? So, that's in progress. But the whole idea behind establishing CoinList was to allow for there to be a regulatory framework around the ICO phenomenon, right? So The SAFT is a document that was drafted up specifically for regulatory compliance with the Security and Exchange Commission, the SEC, and other regulatory agencies within the United States. And so if you want to do this idea of an ICO the right way, you should do it through CoinList, you should do it through the SAFT, you should really be legal about it, okay? Because that's the way we're going to move forward. We can't just say, okay, there's a government and there's this, you know, everything is archaic, let's just trash it all and restart. Unfortunately, that's not how it's going to work right now, right? We have to slowly bridge our way into a world where everything is crypto and digital, but we're not just going to be able to say, oh, fiat is of no use anymore. That's not how it works, okay? So end of that little, you know, little argument right there. So the idea is that trust token allows you to tokenize everything, right? So, and it's been listed on a bunch of, you know, reputable exchanges. The listing of them is right here. You can redeem it one for one for a US dollar. So one true USD token, so Trust Token is the name of the platform, and the cryptocurrency is called True USD, is worth one US dollar. So it's a one-to-one mapping. What that means is no volatility. Let me say that again, no volatility. Okay, so the plus side here is that you can now have some cryptocurrency and not worry that value is going to diminish by 30% in the next hour, right? Because that's the case with a lot of cryptocurrencies. But with this, because it's pegged to the dollar, you know, you have that stability. The con is that we are, hey, you know, like ideologically speaking, morally speaking, in the spectrum of decentralization, crypto anarchism, hey, you are pegging your digital currency to this fiat government-backed currency. The whole point is to not do that. Eventually, right? We've got to build a bridge first between the traditional financial world and the crypto financial world. And what Trust Token aims to do is just that. Okay, so the idea and the number they talk about is $256 trillion worth of real world assets. A lot of it is in real estate, right? So real estate, homes, apartments, land. These are not liquid assets, meaning no one can invest in them directly in that way. You can't trade a piece of a home, right? Unless you can tokenize it. And that's what this aims to do. So again, the team, I know Raphael, I know Steven, I know Danny, you know, I met them around. They're Bay Area people. They're around Stanford, et cetera. They worked at Kernel, which is a brain computer interface startup. When I say platform, I mean there are five parts to this system that they've created, right? So every time you say, okay, I want to tokenize this asset, let's say it's my apartment, a smart trust is created. And so that's the first part. A smart trust is a smart contract. This is a Solidity smart contract. This was built on the Ethereum blockchain. And so what it does is it appoints beneficial asset ownership to the person who then creates that token, right? So that's what the smart trust does. The second part is trust market. And what that does is it allows clients to hire fiduciaries. So these are trusted third parties who interface with the legal institutions and are legally bound to manage assets as instructed by the smart contract, the smart trust. The trust protocol is the set of rules, a decentralized rule set that specifies how those smart contracts can direct fiduciaries. The trust vault is a decentralized storage system for allowing for audit trails. Remember, we want to be very legal about this for asset transactions. And then lastly, the trust token is the incentive layer at the very end, which we're going to be able to use. So if we look at the stack, and it's quite a big stack, they've really thought this through, right? So you have your physical asset in the real world, your art piece, your phone, whatever you want to tokenize. You have your legal entity on top of that. That is that smart contract. Asset management, this is happening in the form of a trusted fiduciary. Your API on top of that, that you can then, you know, interact with. And then you have a blockchain layer, regulatory layer, and then the staking layer, which we're going to talk about in a second, the staking layer. So the first smart trust was issued in October 17. It has a bank account. This is the first time someone tried to tokenize some product. So if we go to Etherscan and we type in that smart contract address, there we go. We can see it right there on the Ethereum blockchain, publicly verifiable by anybody. And so normally you would think, well, you know, there's no need for this. You would send money directly to the entity that you want to exchange with, and they would then control it. But when there's a trusted third party that's not owned by a human, but it's automated in the form of a smart contract, it just makes the whole transfer less risky, right? Because you're automating trust into this smart contract. And so right now they have a true USD token, but they have plans to have one for, you know, euro, the bond, assets, et cetera, you know, things like that, different currencies. But right now they have one that's pegged to the USD fiat currency. So, and there's very much a need for a stable cryptocurrency. Look at this chart of Bitcoin's price, over, you know, a period of a year or two. This is way too volatile for anything useful as a currency, right? Or as a store of value. So a store of stable value, that is. Okay, so, and look, Trust Token is not the only token out there that's trying to have a one-to-one mapping with the US dollar. Tether is currently the largest fiat collateralized cryptocurrency, but they have no legal guarantees that those Tether coins can be redeemed for traditional currency, right? So the whole point of this is to allow both the investor and the entity that they are investing in to breathe a sigh of relief and know that they can trust the idea of tokenizing their assets, that they're not going to lose their money. That's the whole point of regulation, right? We are rebuilding regulation in a way around this whole crypto space. So they drafted up the SAFT. They're listed on CoinList. You go through a form and you have to, you know, list out some information about your investor status to be able to invest. So they've really gone through the steps necessary to make sure that the SEC is happy with them. And I think this is an example that the rest of the space should be following. Okay, so what are the use cases of this? So we know that one use case is to tokenize your assets, right? Another use case is to have a stable cryptocurrency for buying and selling goods, right? You know, it's great to be able to use Bitcoin, but you don't know how much that Bitcoin's going to be. You can use this to buy things where digital currencies are accepted. And because it's built on top of the Ethereum blockchain using the ERC-20 framework, you know, and I have a great video on that. It's called Initial Coin Offering Siraj. Search that on YouTube of how ERC-20 works. But because it's an ERC-20 token, it's backwards compatible with all services that accept Ethereum, right? So there's that. And you could store it in your Ethereum wallet because, you know, all ERC-20 tokens are, you know, backwards compatible with each other. So let's get to the fun part, right? The architecture, which there's not a lot of information on it, but that's why I'm here for you. Okay. So the idea is this. There's two procedures here. There's a buy procedure and there's a sell procedure. Let's go over the buy procedure. Okay. So how do we do this, right? So if we have 100 US dollars and we want to exchange that for 100 true USD tokens, here's how it works. The first step is for us to be able to complete KYC and AML, compliance. What that means is know your customer and what does AML stand for? Anti-money laundering, right? So these are standard forms that the SEC needs to make sure that no one's getting screwed over. Okay, that's essentially what it is. And so once you complete those, Trust Token's team is going to manually review that, make sure that it works. Then you will submit that info in the form of you're going to have your Ethereum address. You're going to take that Ethereum address and you're going to provide it to the Trust Token team. Then you're going to wire funds to a trusted third party. And this is an escrow. It's called Prime Trust. It's a Nevada-based company. Once you wire those funds directly to them, both them as an escrow and a group of what are called stakers are going to verify the validity of your transaction, and then a smart contract is going to be activated. You will then immediately receive some true USD tokens, okay? So there are two checks here, right? Checks and balances. The first is the fact that they have this third-party escrow called Prime Trust, which is a company, a trust-based company, that's whole job is to validate transactions. So that's one. The second is a group of stakers. So right now, they have a few stakers. And what the stakers are is every time you make a transaction in this network, 10% of that transaction is given to the stakers. And the stakers' job is to verify the validity of transactions, right? So when it comes to, and I have this proof of stake infographic here, where you have a group of people who are verifying transactions in the network based on how much stake they have. And so what this is it's an additional consensus algorithm on top of Ethereum's already existing proof of work, and then they will transition to proof of stake. But this is just as a way of further validating that transaction, which is good for both the person who is trying to get those tokens. It's good for all parties involved because it adds a layer of trust to everything. Okay, so that's the first part. So stakers and the escrow, and we're going to go into this code in a second. Okay. So that's the buy part. The sell part looks like this, right? So if you want to use the trust token platform, you'll create this smart trust contract, you'll issue the title of the asset to the trust, and then you'll lock up that trust, and then you can distribute your asset tokens to anybody who wants to then buy your asset. Okay, so that was for how to buy. Let's talk about how to sell, right? So when you want to sell your true USD tokens, the first step is to burn them, okay? So what do I mean by burn? So the idea of burning coins, what that really means, and this is an example right here, is that you're sending them to an address that nobody has the private key to. Those coins don't just magically disappear. What happens is they go to a locked account that nobody has the private keys of. And once the smart contract has verified that the funds have been transferred to that public key, then the service is notified that, hey, these coins have been burned, a Boolean value. And so once you've burned your tokens, the stakers will verify that transaction, and then you will receive fiat from this trusted third party, right? You will receive fiat from Prime Trust, and then you will receive your true USD tokens, okay? So that's the basic idea of how that works. You know, user submits a wire to the company with the crypto wallet information. They'll send the signal to TrueUSD smart contract verifying you purchased it. And then automatically, you know, it just, the whole idea of a smart contract is that it's automatic. They get the signal and they'll send out those funds. Okay. And so what it looks like when you actually buy that, once you verify your identity, your Ethereum address, your email, you can then deposit USD and withdraw USD using this very nice graphical user interface, okay? So let's get into the code here for a second, okay? So first of all, I want to talk about how easy it is to build smart contracts, okay? It's very easy to build smart contracts, and not a lot of people appreciate that fact, okay? So what we're using right now is the Ethereum Remix IDE. This is in the browser. Anybody can compile, run, test their Solidity smart contracts. So I want to build a very simple one here called Creator Balance Checker. And this is just a smart contract that's able to record the address and the amount that the person who created the contract has in their account, right? So I'm going to create a contract, and that contract will be able to tell anybody who then calls it how much crypto I have and the address of the person who created it, okay? So, and they use something like this whenever you're trying to buy a coin, and we'll get into that. But I wanna start off with a very simple example here, okay? So we're gonna start off with a contract called Creator Balance Checker. Creator Balance Checker. This is a Solidity smart contract. Okay, and so what it's gonna do is it's gonna record two parameters: the address of me, the person who created the contract, and the amount that I have. That's called my creator balance. By the way, uint is an alias for uint 256. It's a 256-bit integer. Okay, so there's that, and now I'm going to create that balance checker function, right? So creator balance checker function. It's a public function. Anybody can access it. And so what it says is, okay, who is the creator and what is their balance? And so this is basically the constructor function that assigns these values whenever the creator creates it, right? So that's it. That's all it is. And so once we have that, now we can get to the fun stuff. Now we can say, let's get that contract address. So whoever then calls this smart contract is going to be able to then return to receive what that contract address is. Now we can do the same thing for get the creator's balance. And again, we're making a very simple function to do this. We also want to make sure that this is going to return a uint. And speaking of what we want to return, we want to make sure this returns the address. Okay, and now we simply just return that. This is just a simple get method, right? It's a simple get. And if we want to go back to HTTP's REST idea. Okay, and so now Well, there's also one more thing I want to do here. So we're not just getting the creator's balance. We want to get the creator's two types of balances. We want to get the creator's current balance, and we want to get the creator's balance at the time that they created this smart contract. Okay, so this is going to return, this is going to return, this is going to return, and this is going to be a uint return creator.balance. Okay, and so this first one is going to return it at the time of creation, and this is going to return the current balance, which is very cool. So it can actually return both across time. And I want to have one more function here. So let's just say we want to recover funds, right? So as long as I'm the creator, I can recover my funds by doing this for the smart contract. I can create a kill function that will say, hey, if the person who calls this function, if the message of sender is the creator of the smart contract, then go ahead and kill the contract and send the remaining funds to the creator. So I'll say call suicide creator. Okay, there's that, and now I can close the smart contract. And so now I can start to compile. I want to see what errors I have here. Creator.balance, great, start to compile. Okay, looks good, looks good. And now inside of my JavaScript VM, I will now deploy this. And now I have deployed this smart contract to this testnet. And now I can check it out. And so now what this does, this GUI here, is it simulates, you can do this from console as well, but we're doing it via this graphical user interface where I am now calling the smart contract. Get the contract address. So that's the address of the creator who created it. And that's me calling that function. Let me do the same for the balance. Okay, that's how much money the creator has. And you can see that's exactly the amount I have in my account here. And now lastly, I'll do the same thing for the balance now, which is going to be a little less, right? And now the last function I'm going to call is kill. And that kills that smart contract. Now that I've killed it, if I go back, of course, everything's going to fail because that smart contract doesn't exist. Okay, so I just wanted to give you a simple smart contract example that can compile and run for you to see how easy it is to create these things. So now, let's look at their smart contract. So they've got this GitHub repository with a bunch of different smart contracts. And so what I've done is I've kind of like gone through them and tried to decipher what these smart contracts do, what part does what. And so basically, we can say that when it comes to buying a token, you have your compliant token.sol file and your timelock.sol file. Okay, so here are their smart contracts. Okay, so there's a lot. So if we go to the highest level, here, and so they're using Open Zeppelin, great architectural choice to use Open Zeppelin for templates to easily create these smart ERC-20 smart contracts. Great idea. So TrueUSD is the highest level smart contract they have, and it inherits from their other smart contracts, modular pausable token, no owner, burnable token, it's a compliant token, it's a token with fees, it's a withdrawal token, it's a standard delegate, it can delegate. So all of these features, you know, you can withdraw, it has fees, it's compliant, are inherited, and they go to this master contract, TrueUSD. And so in the constructor, it is talking about how many tokens there are in total, how many are being burned, etc. And then you're going to change the token name, you know, different things like that. And you've got a bunch of helper methods here. But it's actually a very small contract for what it does, because everything is really inherited from other classes. So KYC and AML compliance. So what is happening here is it's a manual review by the trust token team. And this is a string that holds that Boolean value. Has it passed or not? They can then modify that. So then once this Boolean value is set to true that you passed, you know, the next step in the process is activated automatically. Right? So the compliant token is all about storing that value in particular. And so this is all about buying, okay? So the second really important part is time-locked controller. So think about the possibilities here. You can mint, the network can mint a token. The network can burn some tokens. The network can request for some tokens to be transferred. And all this depends on a time lock, right? So has a person sent this money? Okay, go ahead and do this. Has a person burned this token? Okay, go ahead and do this. And that code is in this time lock controller. You can even see that staking fees can be changed. You can change the person who is able to stake. You can switch roles so certain people can, you know, have certain permissions to do certain things. So there's a lot of permissions here, but they all of it is inherited. TrueUSD inherits all of it. And that's when it comes to buying a token. When it comes to selling a token, you've got this burnable token.sol. And what this does is it simply burns the token, right? So that's all it does, right? When you say, okay, you know what? I want to trade my TrueUSD token for some US dollar. You are then using this Solidity file to send that token to nowhere that no one has access to. And then once the network realizes that, hey, this person has burned this token, then we're going to delegate access to real, you know, USD fiat currency, and that transaction will be completed. Okay, so that's how that works. This is a very cool project. I think we can learn a lot from this project by looking at the way that they did things in a legal way, which is a good thing. And also just the fact that they seem to have very clean code. This is a good contract design pattern to have a high-level contract and then other features that are inherited into that high-level contract, okay? So I hope you found this video useful. Please subscribe for more programming videos. And for now, I've got to tokenize. So thanks for watching.